Two of the most common words being seen these days are automation and artificial intelligence. Companies and countries seem to be in a race to be the first to utilize this new frontier of technovation. But as we see things like self-driving cars emerge and companies like Uber, Tesla, and Baidu spearheading efforts to make practical use of automation for their driving services, we also see the dangers in this future. In March, in the U.S., we saw a self-driving Uber car struck and killed a woman who was merely crossing a street late at night. And as new investigation reports roll in, we can find out, finally, what exactly happened before in the seconds when this happened.
Right. So if you guys are being, if you guys are those people that's like, why are we talking about this? This happened in March. Because automation is the future. And we're still in the U.S. trying to figure out who's to blame. So listen to the story we tell, the facts that we list, and then we will get into the great debate of automation and the destruction of mankind. I'm just kidding. According to reports from officers on the scene in Tempe, Arizona, a driver behind the wheel of an autonomous Uber vehicle fatally struck a woman while watching The Voice, which is a TV show in the U.S. She was streaming it. The crash happened at around 10 p.m. on a Thursday night. The accident involved 49-year-old Elaine Herzberg, who was crossing a street known as Mill Avenue when a lady named Vasquez struck her. The incident led to a 300-page report from police. That's a lot of pages. Mm-hmm. Because this is uncharted territory. Who killed this lady, the car or the woman? With things including videos and pictures, they were all in the report, as well as the 911 call from the Uber passenger. Again, her name, the passenger, was a 44-year-old Rafaela Vasquez, but we'll just call her Vasquez, okay? So here's the thing that's crazy, right? So 911, that's the number you call if you ever need an emergency. One video captured by police revealed the reaction of Vasquez post-crash, right? She sounds so surprised. I'm going to try to do Vasquez right now, okay? The car was in auto drive and all of a sudden the car didn't see it. I couldn't see it. And I know I hit her. That's what she said when cops arrived on the scene. Vasquez was given a field test, which means to check if she was sober, if she had any drugs in her system. She didn't. Police initially determined she was not impaired at all. A few days after the crash, police obtained a search warrant from Vasquez's two cell phones, okay, and served warrants on three companies that provide streaming services in the U.S. Maybe you've heard of them, Lyman, because I know you spent some time there. Hulu?
Yes.
Netflix?
Oh, big deal.
And then Google, of course, they own YouTube, so everybody knows about that one. In an effort to determine if the driver had been watching shows on her phones while driving. Okay, so here's where it gets interesting, and this is where the controversy happens, okay? So, one of those providers did give up data, and it's really interesting. Hulu later provided a record of usage on one of Vasquez's phones that showed she was watching The Voice, a talent competition show on NBC right before the collision. In fact, the Hulu record showed her streaming at 9:59 p.m. Remember, the crash occurred at 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, basically, we could talk. I mean, this is trying to go through courts. The courts don't know how to deal with it. I guess the Tempe police, they shot it up to a higher court, and then it went to a different court. There's a lot of report details I'll talk about here in a minute. But what do you guys think? This is pretty crazy, right? I mean, can we really blame her for streaming? Or do we blame the car? Did she have too much faith in technology? I mean, there's so many angles here to say who's to blame, because Uber's basically saying, hey, this car drives itself. So maybe she just felt like she could watch videos. But some might argue, dude, anytime you're behind the seat of a car, and especially in the early days of this kind of new tech, you should be ready at all times and looking at the road. Like, Bob, Bob, if you're listening right now, Bob the pilot, when you guys put your planes in autopilot, that doesn't mean you can just, like, take a nap, right?
Yeah, but when it's pilots, you know that there's one primary principal pilot and there's the co-pilot, and then both guys...
But still, you know, somebody, regardless, when it's on autopilot, that doesn't mean their job's done, I think.
Yeah, but also, this is really tricky, and this is something that I know China and the U.S. are both...
really trying to do.
Yeah, and we're trying to see who's going to break into the future a little bit faster, by the look of it. And since these self-driving cars, or at least they're semi-automized driving cars, and they're allowed on the roads, so as a consumer... I would have thought then, you guys have checked all the relevant parts and the functioning of a car, and if I want to watch The Voice, I should be able to do that? What do you think, Lai Ming?
No, it really depends on the technology, the progress that people, those companies have made in terms of automizing those machines, or those fatal weapons that could be if it's in the wrong hands. Yes, but I think the case with Uber and is that maybe they're still at level 3. That's when you have to put the car on the road with assistance from human input, namely that you can't just rely on a machine to run itself in the road. So that sort of makes it important for someone like Rafaela Vargas to be sitting on the driver's seat, and it's her job to be monitoring the road situation and correspondingly make decisions as to where the car should be going. And yes, Marianne, you mentioned 300 pages of report from the police, and that's a lot of police work. I think that amount of work being put into the case means that the police are trying to find out the accountability. So is it the woman that's supposed to be watching the road, or is it the car that is supposed to be driving itself?
Lai Ming makes a great point. I think probably there is still regulations saying, laws and regulations, we'll get to you probably here soon, in the U.S. saying that even though you are in one of these vehicles, you still should be attentive to the road. Yet here's my question. And this is why I don't know if we should necessarily blame Rafaela, even though she did something wrong. Why didn't those brakes stop in time to not hit this lady? Why did the technology fail? And let me tell you something really interesting from the report. Actually, reduced brake sensitivity was introduced in Uber cars. Basically, a report released by the National Transportation Safety Board on the crash last month showed that the emergency braking system on the car had been tampered with and had been disabled, in part to reduce jerkiness. That means jit-jit, jit-jit, jit-jit of the ride. So on some level, you know, the car should have been able to detect this lady and immediately braked, but that was disabled by Uber. So I could make the argument that this is on some level to their responsibility.
That's a really interesting point.
But still, police has found that the victim, the deceased victim, has been walking under the influence of methamphetamine. And also, the Uber car was mistakenly treating that woman who was pushing a bicycle as, well, I mean... I think there was some kind of mistake with the automatic system that sort of treated the woman as a bicycle or a vehicle. I think that was what happened. And also, remember, this thing happened in the middle of the night. It's 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. So the lighting the lighting wasn't ideal. So that could also be the element in that.
I mean, but Lai Ming, I think... it's Uber's responsibility to be able to say, like, okay, if it's nighttime and the car isn't fit to be able to, regardless of whether it's a bike or a human being, be able to brake in time, then we can't have our automated cars out past 10 p.m. That's their responsibility. They're providing a service, potentially a dangerous one, as we see here. But, you know, I think the big thing here now is, you know, Uber has chosen for maybe a more smooth ride to decrease the emergency brake, which could have saved the lives. So on some level, these automated cars are being tampered with, and we put our trust, We put our trust in these cars, hoping that in any situation, they will have the means to be able to save us and hopefully whoever is in front of the car. But it seems that in automizing a car for safety, it doesn't always mean good business models. It doesn't always mean that it's a smooth ride or that you choose an Uber car. And so in which case, that was tampered with. But I do want to say some more details about the report.
Oh, please.
Okay, so the report, I guess the car involved in the video is a Volvo XC90. I believe a Chinese company owns Volvo now, right?
Geely.
Geely, thank you. And anyways, so moments before the crash, Uber has in their cars video cameras, Hyung. So they actually saw what was going on in the car moments before the crash. And this is what was reported. She appears, this is Vasquez they're talking about. She appears to be looking down at the area near her knee at various points in the video, the report says. Sometimes her face appears to react and show a smirk or laugh at various points during the times she is looking down. Her hands are not visible in the frame of the video during these times. Now, this is interesting because when she told police that she... right after she had hit this person, she told police, oh, my hands were hovering above the steering wheel. Actually, they weren't at all, okay? Other report details, gosh, you know, big data and these cars, we really get a lot of information from this, which is really nice. So we can see the devil in the details. The report details, I guess they analyze data from the vehicle and reacting to the crash at that site. Here's the basics, okay? So the analysis showed that 9 video segments from the dashboard cameras in the vehicles covered 11.8 miles prior to the crash, all right? During that distance, Vasquez looked down 204 times toward the right knee, the report says, okay? So of the nearly 22 minutes elapsed during that distance, right before the crash, Vasquez was looking down for 6 minutes and 47 seconds. Now, 6 minutes and 47 seconds, Lai Ming, that's actually, in 22 minutes, not that much time. So I would say maybe a lot of her time was maybe given to the road on some level, hopefully. And in which case, can we really blame her? I mean, imagine, maybe sometimes it's hard to keep the attention on the road if you feel like you're in a self-driving car.
Well, here, it seems like if you bought the product that promised you that this is a semi, or I don't think anybody's still saying it's fully now, but for most of the time, autopilot works well, so it is more leaning towards the conception of a self-driving car. Then she would have expected the car to be able to at least not hit a person and be able to diverge from the kind of roadblocks that could be in front of her or near the car. And here, you guys provided so much interesting information, and I think the trust that if there is much that is has been placed on self-driving cars is being shattered right now, and I think it's important to highlight the fact that the technology that self-driving cars are surprisingly dependent on is called LIDAR, so LIDAR or something like that, LIDAR. So basically it stands for the light detection and ranging, and it is the technology that allows self-driving cars to see the world around them using lasers that detect, measure, and try to identify objects around the car. But this technology is far from mature, and this is the most high-tech technology that self-driving cars are widely using right now. And this is a technology that is hugely expensive, and it cannot be mass produced up for the requirement of so many car companies that's trying to jump on this bandwagon.
That's just it, is I totally agree with you. But this is almost companies saying, let's get it out there. Human lives, whatever. Let's just see what happens. You know, this is like a race to do it, to be the first to put the stamp on it. I mean, even in the crash report, get this. Even in the crash report, I said the emergency brakes had been disabled, probably by Uber, I'm guessing. But also, the self-driving vehicle was traveling too fast for road conditions. So how does it gear road conditions? It was going way too fast, according to the report, for road conditions. I just feel like we're guinea pigs for companies maybe trying this out, and that's not necessarily okay. And in which case, too, this leaves us in a situation where this poor lady, Rafaela Vasquez, who took the car and thought, oh, it's okay to watch The Voice a little bit, I'm just kind of sitting here, the car's doing all the work, that she gets blamed for something like this. I don't think that's fair, and that's why I really wanted to talk about it.
Well, I think really it's truly it's not fair for the deceased who was unfortunately losing her life in this from this case. But yes, for technology to make progress, sometimes, yes, we human beings have to be guinea pigs in some cases. We've seen it in the pharmaceutical industry. Many people have to volunteer to take part in the human test
trial. The Hunger Games.
No, not the Hunger Games, but the human trials.
Pharmaceutical Hunger Games.
Which is important before a medicine is mass-produced. Likewise, I think you mentioned something about the emergency brake system being disabled. That part is also important because we know that machines are actually more responsive than human beings. Mm-hmm. For human beings, we pay attention to the road. We know we can anticipate what kind of scenarios are going to happen depending on what the road condition is. But for AI and self-driving cars, that's not necessarily the case. They still need a learning procedure or learning process. I mean,
yeah,
driving
like
at driving in the middle of the night, yeah. Which is also important. I remember if you want to get a driver's license in Maryland in the United States, you have to sort of qualify for 20 hours driving at night if you were a teenager. So likewise, for cars, for self-driving cars, they have to prove themselves safe under all kinds of driving circumstances.
I think Lai Ming's a little biased here because he just got his license to drive and now we're seeing automation. He's like, no, my chance to drive.
No, actually, I'm actually looking forward to the age when we can rely on self-driving cars.
No, yeah, I think
people of my generation who don't own a car already are betting on the future where they don't have to own a car, where a car can be called in at the flip of on a smartphone, and where they don't have to spend so much time looking for a parking lot in downtown Beijing.
That sounds super convenient, but for those... And I'm sure there's a big number of people of the majority of, I mean, the public that owns a car. And then it becomes another economic issue that whether you want to change into a self-driving car. And one important thing that I think you guys mentioned and I'd like to address here is that can we rely on the human being to take back control of the self-driving car last minute, like the seconds before you see a car crash might happen? And actually from Messi Cummings, that is director of Humans Autonomy Lab at Duke's University, she is saying that having the human step inside the control loop at the last possible minute is a guaranteed disaster, that you cannot rely on the human being to jump in last minute. That's just not how technology and human beings can work together.
If you're an emergency, call technology. Don't call us, all right? But, you know, what this is also, Lai Ming, I was joking about your license, but like 20 years from now, we might see kids jumping in cars all by themselves.
Yeah.
They don't need a license. Suddenly licenses, how do we, you know, in the U.S., licensing, or getting a license is how you identify. It's like the main form of identification. But now we're going to see little kids in the front of a car and nobody else in there. Like, who's that little kid driving that car? Oh, yeah, automation. And that'll be me because I'm a grandpa watching little kids all over the street going to school by themselves in their automized cars.
Yeah. Well, here I have
a
question about the present, actually.
Scary.
That is, we know that all these cars are being tested right now, but then are they on the streets in China and in the U.S.? What is happening in that regard?
I can tell something about China. They're on the road. They're on select roads.
Selected roads.
Yes. So far, they've been successful in the 3,000 kilometers that they've covered. So they're expanding the selected roads now.
Yeah, and since 2012, at least 41 states and D.C. have considered legislation related to autonomous driving. So it's happening, folks.
Well, the future is coming, and that is pretty fast, and we're just trying to keep up, I guess.